The Overwhelmed Brain is brought to you by the letter Q. Are you annoyed by affirmations? Are you even more annoyed when people expect you to
think positively?
I know you've had a rough day, so let's all do the positive thinking cheer. Give me a P!
P.
Give me an O! O. Jeez, folks, give me an S! Who made that cricket noise?
If affirmations feel like lies and positive thinking feels like denial, then get ready to start creating the life you've always wanted now. Hello, this is Paul Poliani, host of The Overwhelmed Brain, the personal growth show for critical thinkers. On every episode, we'll talk about practical, down-to-earth steps to help you improve your mood and keep you sane in this powerful journey we call life. I want to help you bridge the gap between your emotions and reason, causing you to discover why you do the things you do and what you can do to reach higher levels of happiness and lower levels of stress and overwhelm. And if you're here to learn more common sense tips for improving your life, you're in the most uncommon place imaginable. This is the direct path to uncommon sense, and that's why it's going to help you learn, heal, grow, and evolve. All right, I'm going to start the show off with something that I read in iTunes, and that is a critical review of The Overwhelmed Brain. I always like to get these critical reviews for a multitude of reasons. One, it gives me good feedback on how the show's going and if people are still listening to it. If people are tuning in and then tuning out and then actually taking the time to leave a review. And two, it also gives me a chance to address it in real time with you on the show. And I mean address it in a sense of how it affects me. Because we all eventually we deal with someone who doesn't like us. We eventually deal with someone who doesn't like what we do or what we said or the work we put out into the world. And sometimes people will criticize us to our face, and sometimes they'll say it in a flaming post online, or what they call trolling. They'll say things that are trying to hurt us or bruise our ego in some way. They'll respond to our Facebook posts or other social media posts where we'll say something that we support, and then they'll come through as an anti-supporter or anti-us. They don't like us for some reason because we have a certain opinion or we present things in a certain way. And I want to address this because it is something that we all deal with, but I'm going to do it on a personal level right now because I received a review in iTunes, and I'm going to read it to you first, and I'll just respond to it in real time. Let's see where this goes. First of all, the reviewer's name is Oh My Katniss. That's a great name, and I don't think that's their real name, so I think it's okay to say that on the air. And this person gives me 2 stars out of 5. And as you know, that's below average, so that's not favorable. That's less than favorable. And the title of the review is, "You Seem Like a Great Guy." And I go, oh boy, where's this going? So this reviewer said, "Doing solo podcasts is challenging. There is no one around to help you calibrate or keep you on a logical line that listeners can follow. Personal opinion. There are 2 kinds of podcasts/radio shows. One has a goal, specific information to communicate, and will follow a line of explanation and review in order to clearly present the information. The other kind is really just self-indulgent conversation between people with no goal in mind, just saying whatever thought pops into their brain. I guess my mistake was thinking that this podcast was the former. I hate having to listen to superfluous, unrelated information, or, especially, random thoughts and opinions, when what I thought I was getting was intelligent discourse and examination of a topic." Okay, there's the review. What do you think? I put that out there for you because this is something I want to go over this morning as a superfluous topic, a superfluous thought. First of all, thank you to the reviewer that actually took the time to do this. I mean, it takes time to log into iTunes, rate the show, and write all these words. It takes a lot of time. So I actually do appreciate, I am grateful, even when the review is negative. because that means they want me to hear what they have to say. And why would they want me to hear what they have to say? Because I can only assume they want me to improve. They want me to get better. And what would be the intention behind that? Because maybe they like me. Maybe they want me to be better. Maybe they just want better quality shows on the air so that when they tune into something, it is more to their liking or for the world to like. I'm not sure. So thank you. Second of all, thank you for your opinion. I think it was well written, and I don't necessarily agree with all of it. But I think that's to be expected because everyone has an opinion, and everyone's going to think a little bit differently about everything. But let me just tell you what I don't necessarily agree with. And one of them is that there are only two kinds of shows. I think the misunderstanding out there is that there are only two kinds of shows, or very limited number of shows. When you tune into, especially the podcast world, there are all kinds of shows. I mean, every kind of show you can think of. Yes, they do have certain levels of similarity, and some are produced very well and some aren't. Some you tune into and you know right away that you don't want to listen. And one of the kind that this person mentions is that, yes, there's a lot of random talking and self-indulgence and perhaps ego and perhaps, hey, I'm just having fun. I don't care about giving the listeners anything of value. There are those kinds of shows for sure. I don't think this is one of them. And I don't think this listener thinks this is one of them either, because he or she was saying that, I guess my mistake was thinking that this podcast was one of those, and let me reread it, that has of specific information to communicate and will follow a line of explanation and review in order to clearly present the information. Now, this is what I want to address in this segment. This is so important in your life because you're going to meet people that disagree with you in some way or don't like you or don't like what, like I've said earlier, don't like what you put out into the world. The main reason this happens, the main reason for any dislike, is because what someone expects of you doesn't always match what you provide. I mean, this is one of the main reasons for a lot of disappointment in life. What you expect of someone else isn't always what they provide. I want you to think about that because your expectations set up your level of happiness or disappointment or other feelings that come up. Your level of expectation, what you expect from someone else, will determine if you like them or if you like what they say or if it's acceptable to you. It determines a lot. This person clearly thought that I was probably more of an informational show where I'm just going to present the facts and break down those facts and then turn them into a topic of study and have it really scientifically laid out in an organized fashion because of the way this person wrote their review. Just all the words they used make it sound like this should be more of a scientifically based podcast. And I respect that. I respect that viewpoint. And this isn't what this podcast is about. If you've been listening a while, you know what it's about. It's, and maybe I haven't put it into words often, like I don't say this in my introduction, but it really is about emotional intelligence. It's really about how to handle your life in different situations, how to talk to other people, how to communicate yourself clearly, how to be authentic, how to honor your personal boundaries. It's about running your life in a way that makes you happier. And it's especially about empowering yourself. This is a personal growth show, and it's not necessarily a textbook show. Yes, sometimes I get into more textbook definitions of things, but what I found more often than not is that when we start labeling and defining and making and putting things into a box, we start losing the ability to get ourselves out of that box and into a solution. And what I mean by that is we can look at something like the DSM, the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders. If you look through that book, you're going to find definitions, symptoms, and all kinds of very specific characteristics of people who have certain conditions, disorders, and in general, labels. All these labels that litter this book. When you label something, you put that something into a box and say something like, That person is narcissistic. That person has antisocial personality disorder. That person is depressed, by all these clinical definitions of depression. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm not arguing against the DSM. The DSM, just in case you don't know, is what a lot of psychotherapists and counselors and other people in those very respectable professions use to determine diagnoses and during their studies in college and things like that. And it's a Bible. It's a Bible to help people understand conditions. And it's very good because it discusses a lot of these scientifically studied conditions and characteristics of people. My only issue with that is that it does tend to box things up. And I'm not a big proponent of boxes. I'm not a big proponent of putting boundaries on a condition, saying, okay, you're narcissistic, and this means you have this, 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 and this. I'm a proponent of looking at someone who has multiple characteristics, multiple, quote, symptoms of all these different types of conditions and diagnoses. When you look at someone like that, and they have a piece of this, and a piece of this, and a piece of this, it gives you a broader scope of everything that's going on instead of saying this person is antisocial. I understand that it's nice to have a baseline. I understand that it's nice to have a foundation that this person is X. And now that we know this person is X, we can go from there and determine what we need to do based on how we've resolved X before, if that makes sense. I get that. I'm all about that. I'm all about this is how we break things down and figure things out and progress in the world. However, this show doesn't do that. This show takes real-time situations that you're dealing with today. Like, I'm dealing with someone who comes out of his office and yells at me on a daily basis. I mean, that's a real-time situation. And then we go, okay, what do we do about that? Well, here's what I would do. We change our behavior, or we change our environment. We change our situation. We honor ourselves. We yell back. I mean, all kinds of things that we can do. What would be most beneficial for us? My job isn't to look at someone's condition and say, what's wrong with them? My job is to look at what's going on inside of you and empower you to make the decisions that are right for you. So that when you are with these people that are all defined in the DSM, then you know what to do that's best for you. Because we're not here to change other people. We're here to change ourselves. And how do we change ourselves is that we understand why we do the things we do. And also understand how to reach, you hear me say it, higher levels of happiness and lower levels of stress and overwhelm. That's all we're here to do. So back to this reviewer, I'm grateful for the review and I'm honored that you gave me that opinion of the show. And I'm sorry that I did not meet your expectations of what you were looking for in this show. However, I will ask, is it really my fault that I didn't meet your expectations? I have a feeling this reviewer doesn't listen to the show anymore, which is fine. But I do question, is it my fault that I did not meet that reviewer's expectations? Just like, is it your fault if someone else is disappointed in what you said or did or what you believe or a project that you created or anything that you completed that you put out into the world and suddenly they're like, oh. like someone who spends millions and millions of dollars making a movie, hiring hundreds of people to work on the movie, and then 2 years later the movie's done and somebody watches it for 2 hours and gives them an awful review. After they spent all this time and energy, I mean, that's all they thought about and they ate, drank, and slept this movie. And then someone watches it for 2 hours and says, eh, I've seen better. Or that was terrible. Worst movie I've ever seen. I can't imagine what that must feel like. I put out a weekly show and I have been doing it for almost 3 years now. And so to receive a review that says, well, it's not what I expected, therefore it's bad. Now, to be fair, this reviewer didn't say it was bad, But they did say, I hate having to listen to superfluous, unrelated information or random thoughts when what I thought was getting was intelligent discourse and examination of a topic. I think that's a very brilliant sentence. But do you base your evaluation of something on if it meets your expectations, which would certainly be ripe for disapproval and disappointment? Or do you base it on curiosity, like, I wonder if this is going to be any good? And say, oh, I liked that, or I didn't, and then move on. So the only reason I wanted to mention this is that if you ever have to deal with somebody called a hater, I'm not saying this reviewer is a hater. I'm saying that in general, in life, someone hates what you do. Someone hates what you said. If you have to deal with that, remember that they're only evaluating, typically, against their expectations of what they want from you. This reviewer was evaluating what they were getting against their own expectations, and what they were getting didn't meet their expectations, so they made a review on it. That's why when I look at something like this, I'm not offended. I realize that their expectations weren't met. Not because I built up any false expectations. I pretty much clearly define what this show is going to be about, both in the description of my show in iTunes, on my website, and also during the introduction of this show. But it didn't meet this person's expectations, so they will not be happy with it. They will tune out. And that's perfect, because I don't want people to listen to this show that don't like it. Just like you don't want people in your life that don't like what you do. So it's nice to know who those people are and what they do or don't like. It's nice to know that what you have to offer to the world, whatever it is, whether it's through your work, through your recreation, through your hobbies, or even your personality, whatever you have to offer to the world, if some people don't like it, you're not meeting their expectations. And you can never meet their expectations unless you change who you really are. And that's something I don't want you to do. I want you to be authentic, yes. So if you're not being authentic now, then yes, I want you to change who you are and be authentic. But I don't want you to change your authentic self for someone else. I don't care if it's a job or relationship. I don't care what it is. Because once you change that about yourself, once you decide not to be authentic, what you do is start becoming more and more unhappy. I mean, I see this in relationships all the time. I see people getting into a relationship and then start changing who they are in a way that they don't like themselves. I mean, you can change yourself in a way that you do like, for sure. But in a way they don't like themselves as almost a sacrifice of their own happiness to please someone else, to make someone else happy, which doesn't make any sense at all. So when I look at this review, do I go, oh, am I going to change this show? Am I going to change my personality? Am I going to change what I talk about? No, because everything I do here is for you. Everything I do is to help you get to a better place inside yourself. If I turned it into a more scientific study of phenomenon or data, I'm sure more people would tune in, and I'm sure a lot more people would tune out because that's not what they're used to. But also, I wouldn't enjoy it as much. I don't want to talk analytics for an hour or two. I don't want to talk data deconstruction for an hour or two. I can, and I'd be happy to in conversations not in this podcast, but here it's just not appropriate. I like to dive in to some of the science that I know in the back of my mind, but I don't like to present it on the show unless it's absolutely necessary to the points I'm making regarding a particular subject matter. But those of you listening already know this stuff. If you've been listening a while, you know how I present this information, and most of you are definitely okay with it. This reviewer, however, was not. And to that, I bid farewell to that person that will probably never hear this review of their review. And I wish them the best. And I am so grateful that they said that, because it allowed me to talk for, 20 minutes on this particular topic. So I broke down their review. I turned it into something that we can all relate to. And then I hope that you can move forward knowing that you will never meet the expectations, or at least all expectations, of other people. So you just be yourself. Because what else are you going to do? you can't possibly know every expectation that someone else has of you, so you might as well be yourself so they know what to expect all the time. Does that make sense? You walk in the door as yourself, and you leave as yourself, and then they know what to expect. Like, hey, that guy's a straight shooter. Hey, that girl really says what's on her mind. Hey, that guy likes to talk about politics. Hey, that girl's an avid reader. You set up expectations from an authentic place, and then you let the chips fall where they may. You let the people that like you, and the people that don't, they'll disappear. And then some of them, as they disappear, will say things to you that might hurt. They'll say things that will surprise you, or put you down, or make you feel bad. But remember, it's not you. It's them not being able to meet their own expectations of you. And that's something you have no control over whatsoever. Let's go into our next segment called Ask Paul. All right, once a week we talk with Asha with GetOutOfTheMess.com. She's an independent associate for LegalShield, and that is a service that provides you a law firm that you can work directly with anytime for almost any situation you come across. Once you're in their system, you can call them and ask questions. You can't do this with attorneys if you don't have a service like this, because that's not how most attorneys do business. But LegalShield only works with highly rated law firms to provide you with legal answers, and it can even write up legal documents and make phone calls on your behalf. I mean, imagine what it would feel like to say, well, if you can't help me, I'm going to have my attorney call you. I wanted to say that to someone once, but I knew I couldn't follow up on it. But now I can. I can call into the service, and I know that the right attorney for what I'm dealing with will call me back and may even call the person or company that I'm having trouble with to follow up with them directly. The service is just a great level of protection and more peace for me so that I don't have to worry when legal trouble comes my way. Heck, even trying to get something covered by a warranty can be a chore, so it's nice to have this service in my back pocket. So anyway, let me ask Asha real quick, can anyone sign up for this service?
The only people who are not covered and cannot sign up for a service is a 501c3 corporation. Other than that, all businesses, from one person to over 100 people, 1,000 people, it doesn't matter. You know, if you want to use the LegalShield service, there are attorneys that can meet your needs. Now, you ask questions up until the point that you need personal representation or business representation. At that point, you hire an attorney through the service. They have specialists in every area. And then you get a 25% discount on their normal rates. I have found it to be very cost-effective, and very high quality.
The service is not available everywhere, right?
This is in the United States and Canada only.
Got it. So what does a listener have to do to get LegalShield? Can they just go to the LegalShield website and start things up?
If you go to LegalShield yourself, here's what's going to happen. You go to the website, and then you're going to click the Find an Associate button, because there is no way to buy LegalShield without an associate. So then you're going to be dumped in this pool. You have no idea who's going to call you back. So if you're listening to this show and you like this show and you want to support this show, you should go to getoutofthemess.com and let me be your associate, because if I'm not your associate, the overwhelmed brain gets no support from your business. And you have no idea who you're going to work with. And quite frankly, I'd rather work with you than hand it off to somebody else. Call me at 678-355-8777. Or go to getoutofthemess.com, and there are buttons at the top. You can leave me a message, phone call, whatever you like.
All right, this next segment is called Ask Paul. This is where I read a listener email on the air, and I do my best to help them through a challenge or two. And sometimes I read two emails on the air if I have a time. And sometimes I read emails that aren't even questions. They're just comments. And I comment on their commentary. Like this one. I'm going to read you an email from someone who didn't ask a question, but gave me some compliments. And I'm not saying this to boost my ego or anything or tell you how great I am. But I want to comment on her comments because I want to give you an idea of why I do the things I do And maybe by doing that, it'll give you some takeaways on what you can do in your life. Not saying that you're not doing any of this stuff already. I mean, maybe you're doing it all. But I always find it fascinating when people point out what I'm doing, especially when I don't necessarily know sometimes why or how I do the things we do. I mean, we all do things that are more or less unconscious, especially when we know something well enough that we know it so well we teach it. But we don't know sometimes why we teach it the way we teach it or how it's coming across. Like in the last segment, some people have expectations that we'll never meet. And maybe we haven't changed in years and we do what we do the same way all the time. And then someone says, I don't like you, or I don't like what you do, or you disappointed me. They say something that doesn't feel very good, but you didn't change a thing. And then suddenly somebody out of the blue says something that makes you feel bad. So why now? Why after all these years did somebody say something to you now or at that time? Why does it have to happen now? So because we don't perceive ourselves the same way other people do, it's nice to get feedback. It's nice to hear from people and have them tell us what we're doing and what we're not doing and how we're doing things and how they perceive us. It's like if you went on to social media and posted on social media and you said something like, what's one characteristic that you really like about me? I mean, that would be an interesting question, wouldn't it? You'd find out how people see you and the one characteristic that they like most about you. And that gives you insight. I love insight. I love insight to my own personality, to my own behavior. And this letter I'm about to read gives me insight to my personality, to my behavior, and how what I teach comes across. But I want to address the points that this person brings up in a way that helps you understand why I do the things I do so that perhaps it can help you in your life too. You'll understand what I mean in a second. Here's the letter. It says, Hi, Paul. I've been listening to your podcast for about 6 months now, and I feel like I can't be without it. I have churned and burned through many personal development podcasts, and I've been exposed to different professionals and coaches that specialize in personal growth over the years, and none of them ever seem to feel like home. While looking for new personal development podcasts, I stumbled upon yours, and I gave it a chance because of the title, The Overwhelmed Brain. This must be for me, she says. It was. I absolutely love your podcast. It is part of my daily life, and I'm so thankful for it. I'm in therapy now, addressing some behaviors that have been holding me back a while, but that doesn't solve everything. I have to do my homework in between, and that's where you come in. I've been in a very low place for a while, and listening to you has greatly continued to give me the strength that I need to carry on and stay motivated to improve. I jot so many powerful takeaways into my notebook from nearly every episode. I just want to say thank you. I'm eternally grateful. You are making a big impact on my positive mental health. I know I'm not alone when I say that your approach and content helps so many people. Thank you for that. And here's why I love you and your podcast. One, you are completely transparent and allow yourself to be vulnerable. This is hook, line, and sinker, the best decision you could have ever made when starting your podcast. People don't want to hear a preacher. They want someone that truly understands and applies their own experiences to what they are speaking about. It helps others feel like they're on a level playing field because you show that you are human too. We can relate to you in an easier way because your approach tears down walls. And because those walls are down, it expedites the digestion of the information you provide. All right, before I read the other 3 points that you made, first of all, thank you so much. Thank you for listening. And I'm so glad that this show is part of your self-improvement process. And your first point about me being completely transparent and allowing myself to be vulnerable is, like you said, hook, line, and sinker. It's one of the keys for me. I'm not just putting myself out there and being transparent to put on a good show. It's also for my personal health and well-being. It's also for my healing, because every time I'm open and honest and vulnerable, it helps me heal. Now, why I do that is because I need to connect with some of the pain, the shame, the embarrassment, the guilt, and all that other stuff inside me at the deepest emotional level, because if any of it's repressed, it needs to come out. For you, your pain, your shame, your guilt, your embarrassment, anything negative in there that's deeply buried has to come out. It has to. If you're carrying this stuff around, then do what this person said I do. Be completely transparent. Allow yourself to be vulnerable. That's not easy. I know it. I know that's maybe why you listen to this show is, how do I do that? How do I get to that point? I want to be vulnerable. You have to get to a safe place, first of all. You have to get safe people in your life. You have to be surround yourself with safe people, because when you don't, then you feel unsafe and you close that vulnerable part of you off. You disconnect the emotional train inside of you that goes in and out. That's a dumb analogy, actually. Forget I said that. Just think of a tunnel, or think of a path between the outside world and the deepest part of you, that emotional, what I call the emotional core. You have this path laid out, and you can either have the doors open back and forth so things can come out and things can come in, or you can lock the doors tight and nothing can come in or out. When you lock them tight, it's hard to feel joy. It's hard to feel peace. It's hard to feel tranquility. And it's also hard to experience some of the painful stuff. I mean, that sounds nice. You don't have to experience the painful stuff. But you're, like I've said in other shows, you're blocking the good stuff too. So what I decided to do was take a chance. I unlocked the door and I just, it's going to sound funny, expose myself to the world. I revealed the truest negative emotions that I had going on inside of me to the world. I was like, okay, if I can do it in front of everyone, then what's beyond that? What's worse than that? What's the worst that could happen? Well, there's a lot that could happen, because thousands or tens of thousands of people hear this and they could write to me and say, oh, you're a loser. Or they'll comment on something that I said and say, why didn't you do it this way? Or they'll judge something I said, like, wow, you were a real jerk to your wife. I can't believe you did that. And then you told everyone that you did it. I mean, think of all the stuff that I've said. If you've been listening a while, think of all the stuff that I've said over these past few years that could be judged, that someone could tear apart and then put in some National Examiner newspaper, some tabloid somewhere. They could just tear apart what I said. But I just step ahead of them and tear it apart myself. I just step ahead of people that want to judge me and say, this is what I did, and this is what I am doing to heal from it, or this is what I have done to get past that. But I know I did it. And I'm not proud of this, and I'm not proud of this. I'm ashamed of this. I feel guilty about that. I just put it all out there. Because when you leave ambiguity on the table, people fill in the gap. And then some people try to say things to make you feel bad or do things to make you feel bad. But when it's all out on the table, like, this is everything I've done, and this is everything I am, what's left? They have no way to fill in the gap. So reason number one that this letter writer loves my podcast is because I'm completely transparent and I allow myself to be vulnerable. And like she said, it helps other people bring their walls down. I hope it helps you bring your walls down, because here I am bringing my walls down for you, knowing that you could tear me apart. Like, even that reviewer could have tore me apart. She could have said, you promised me one thing and you gave me another. But it didn't happen. Even when it was a critical review of my show, she didn't tear me apart. She just said that she didn't like it. And like I said, it didn't meet her expectations, and that's fine. And of all the things that I've said over these years, she could have torn any of that apart, but she didn't. But I have had it happen. I've had a review. I had a review come in that said, you should allow us to monitor our own content and you should not bleep out the curse words. I was like, really? And they were upset that I wasn't bleeping out the curse words. What was funny about that time is that I actually had a show on that saying that I shouldn't bleep out the curse words. I mean, almost verbatim, they copied what I said on the show in a review as if I gave myself a bad review. It's hard to explain, but what they said was that they're old enough, they're adults, and they should be able to filter the content themselves for their children that might be listening too. I just made a decision not to do that. I just made a decision to filter it so there are no curse words on this show. I prefer it that way. I'm more comfortable without curse words on the show. And people who listen in with their kids know that nothing's going to slip out. So I knew I was going to get lashed back for that. But I only got one letter out of thousands that could have come. And that one letter said, well, I want you to open up the show and leave the expletives in. And I decided, no, I'm not going to do it. So that's one of those things where I can honor my boundaries and I'm happy with it. I'm fine with it. Because sometimes you have to be a certain way that people aren't going to like, and you have to be fine with it. That's neither here nor there, because the point of this reason one is the transparency in being vulnerable. And yes, when I can be myself, it allows other people to be themselves too. So let me try to go through these other points real quick. The number two reason why this person loves my podcast is that she says, you are not afraid to be yourself. Unlike so many other coaches or personal development podcast hosts, you take chances. You share your mistakes, your faults, and your true stories as they apply to the topic. There are so many others that preach and teach, and without realizing it, exude a godlike persona that people end up trusting, but it's totally false. Those, quote, preachers are actually counterproductive to their audience because people strive to think it is actually possible to be like that coach or speaker and not have any struggles or issues. It's just not realistic, and I myself have fallen into that trap. Well, that's a great point. It's true. I'm not afraid to be myself, and I'm not like a lot of other coaches or personal development hosts, and I will not surround myself with coaches or podcast or radio show hosts that are, quote, godlike, because I prefer authenticity. I prefer people that have fears, that still have learning to do. I prefer being around people that know they're not perfect and are trying to get better every day. That's my preference. So why would I put on any other type of persona than that? And I agree with you. There are preachers out there that are actually counterproductive because they are putting on an act. And when you meet them in person and when they're not in their persona, they are a different person than they are on stage or behind the microphone. One of the things that I wanted to make sure never happened is that I would get behind this microphone and be someone that I wasn't. Because what's going to happen when I'm out and about by myself at the grocery store, at a restaurant, just in the public eye in general, and someone sees me being myself? And who am I going to be? I mean, there are personal situations that we all do when no one else is looking. And are we going to be congruent with the person that we show the world and the person that we are when we're by ourselves? It's like that saying, true character comes out when you're by yourself, or something like that. Your true character reveals itself when no one else is watching. And I love that because I'm always testing myself in that sense. I'm going through the grocery store, pushing a grocery cart just like millions of other people do, and I'm asking myself, am I being authentic? Am I being real? Am I being myself? I don't want people to think that I am on any type of pedestal. I don't want anyone to think that I am smarter than anyone else. I don't want anybody to think that I'm better than anyone else. I don't even want people to think that I'm happier or more at peace than anyone else. It's just not how I perceive the world. I would rather people think that I am at the same level with different solutions to challenges. I have the ability to teach what I know to others that help them in ways to empower them. I have certain gifts and skills that I have learned to amplify and learn more about so that I can bring them out into the world. But that makes me no better, no worse, and no different than you or anyone else in the world. I don't want to put myself on that level of being. I want anyone who recognizes me in public to go, wow, that guy's been through a lot, and I'm so glad that he teaches others how to heal from some of the stuff he's been through. I mean, I think that's a good way to look at it. I mean, not even that. Whoever's been through a lot has a lot of wisdom, has a lot of experience, has a lot of knowledge under their belt. The difference between someone like me who studies what I've been through and is open to feeling the pain and the hurt and the fear and, like I said, the embarrassment, the shame and the guilt, I'm open to feeling that and telling the world about it. The difference between me doing that and someone else not doing it will accelerate the level of healing and growth that each of us go through. If someone chooses to hold it in out of fear or not knowing how to express themselves, you know, not having the tools or the resources to do it, then it might take them longer to heal from this stuff. And because it takes longer, how do they help others heal from that stuff if they choose to do so? I choose to heal and grow and learn and evolve as much as possible so that not only I feel better, but knowing how good I feel when I get through it, I want to share it with others. And some people aren't ready to take that step. Some people don't know how to take that step. Some people are in the middle of those steps. And some people have gotten beyond me and they're at peace with almost everything in their life. There's always different levels that we're all at. And sometimes it helps to find people that have taken a few more steps than us so that we know which direction to go. So thank you for that reason number two why you love the podcast. I hope I'm not preachy. And like you said, that you've fallen into that trap by following these godlike gurus. I have too. And I've seen what these people can do to other people. And some people are left in a real big mess. Some people that follow these godlike personas are left in a mess. Some people aren't. Some people do great. But some people are left in a mess. That's all I'm going to say about that. Number three, you have a great voice. It's comforting and easy to listen to. Thank you very much. What can I say? Except thank you. I appreciate that. And I really do appreciate that. I've been told that some people fall asleep to my voice. So I'll take it as a compliment. And number four, you break up the show in an interesting way. I love that you spend a solid amount of time focusing on an area, but keep it interesting by moving onto a new segment like Ask Paul, which I think is awesome. Thank you, Paul. You are an awesome human being with charisma and ingenuity. My best to you and yours each and every day. Thank you for sharing yourself with the world and making it your mission to help others like me. Now, she didn't give me permission to use her name, so I'm going to say sincerely, Mary. All right, your number four is that how I break up the show and segment it. And thank you for that feedback. And thank you for everything that you said. I am definitely grateful. I'm definitely honored. And I read your letter on the air, like I said, not as an ego boost, but as a way to share with everyone listening now my approach and why I do the things I do on the show, because it's sometimes helpful to know what I'm doing here behind the microphone. It's sometimes helpful for you to know where I'm taking you and why I'm taking you there and why I share such personal things. For example, in my Patreon group, I shared a very, very personal, embarrassing story about a phobia that I've held on to for 35 years, I think, for a very long time. And I was a little uncomfortable talking about it, but at the same time, I had to. I had to talk about it. I had to be open about it because I've been dealing with it and I've finally gotten to a point where it's 90% gone. I haven't even tackled the last 10% of what's left because it hasn't niggled at me enough to get rid of it. It's like it hasn't been a big enough problem to worry about because I'm so far into getting over it that it's not as important anymore. So I do have 10% to look at still as I record this today, but I'm 90% over it. And it's a phobia I've had since I was 7. It's just been with me all of my adult life. And I tell you what, it was powerful. It was a powerful phobia. It made me cringe. It made my physical body react and go into a fetal position. So I shared that in the Patreon program as sort of something I don't talk about on this show, but You know, it was something I held on to for 35 years. It was a very powerful phobia that I could not get over, and I finally did. 90% gone. That, to me, is close enough to getting it over with. But I'll still work on that 10% because I don't want it, any of it. I don't want any of it left over. But just talking about it was very freeing. It helped me do some release. Or writing about it, even. As I'm writing this book, I'm writing about things that I haven't really thought about in detail for a while. And getting it out of my system has been freeing, has been healing, because now I'm visiting those parts of the deeper recesses of my mind and body, and it's coming out. I'm unlocking the door, the pathway to that emotional core, and letting this stuff out. And it can be quite powerful, and it can really open up a whole new world for you if you're willing to just take the chance and take the risk and be yourself and be authentic and be transparent and don't be afraid to be yourself. Don't wear a mask in the world, because people who look up to you, who are they looking up to? Are they looking up to the person that you're presenting, or are they looking up to the person that you really are? And can you be proud of the person you are, or are you only proud of the person you present? And boy, when you can get past being proud of the person you present and be authentic and proud of that person, when that person shows up in the world and you get to be the real you, everything changes. Everything feels good. And when you do things, you feel proud of them in an entirely different way. And the only way to experience that is to take a leap of faith and be authentic and see what happens. Some people are going to love it. Some people are going to hate it. But you still show up as yourself. And guess what? You get to be that person for the rest of your life. And that's pretty cool. We have time for one more quick letter. Let's get to that right after this. All right, if you're not familiar with the TOB Patron program yet, let me fill you in. If you go to patron.theoverwhelmedbrain.com, you'll see a wonderful, welcoming beach scene that invites you right in. What we have over there are private episodes of The Overwhelmed Brain that you won't hear anywhere else. You'll have access to workbooks and worksheets that you can use to improve different areas of your life. And you'll have the ability to request topics for me to talk about in the private episodes, which is always interesting. And group coaching, not only with me, but also with many other coaches in their particular fields. In fact, we have a coach coming up that's going to talk about self-confidence, core values, and trusting yourself. That's coming up very shortly. And then following that, we're going to have a meditation coach who's going to teach us what it really takes to meditate. Now, that should be an interesting one, because I never took any formal lessons on meditation. I have my own techniques, but I can't wait to hear from an authentic meditation coach. So we'll see how that goes. Anyway, there are other benefits to the Patreon program, so I hope that you can join. It's a way for you to support the show and get a lot of value by doing so. Membership is only $3 a month, but you can get even more benefits joining at the higher levels up to $29 a month, including the group coaching that I was talking about. It's very reasonable and affordable, and especially accessible, which is how I want to keep it for you. Join us today. I can't wait to see you in the Patron program. Just go to patron.theoverwhelmedbrain.com or click on Become a TOB Patron at theoverwhelmedbrain.com website. Looking forward to seeing you on the inside. All right, let's take a look at one more email and see where we can go with it. Hi, Paul. I've been listening to your show for a few months now. It's really been helpful, and I've appreciated every episode that I've been able to listen to. I'm still about 6 months behind, though. After years of me being unhappy and my husband being just fine, I stayed with a friend for a few weeks. Now we are on a 6-month probation living together while I decide if I want to stay married or split. It's hard. I don't want to hurt him, but I'm trying to decide what is best for me. I have a constant internal argument going on. considering everything like finances, selling our home, telling family. I just can't commit to my husband, but I'm not ready to walk away. What things do you recommend thinking about when considering if I should get a divorce? If divorce is really what I want, how do I know it's the right choice? I'm terrified I will regret either decision later. Also, if I decide to move forward with divorce, how do I tell my husband? Thanks. Okay, thank you so much for writing that letter. That is a tough position to be in. And yes, I did talk about that a long time ago. There's an episode called Relationship Love, Acceptance, and the Decision to Leave or Stay. That was a while back. That was episode number 33 back in 2014. Wow. I'm looking at it now going, wow, I need to update this. There's a probably more I have to say on that now. But you can go to my website and use the search field on the top right and look for the decision to leave or stay. You'll find it. But let's talk about this right now. I mean, how do you make the decision to leave or stay, especially when there's so much at stake? You have so many things tied up together. This is something I mentioned not too long ago on another episode where you assess what has happened in the last year or 6 months and figure out if there's been any progress at all. You look back and you go, okay, in the past 6 months, has there been any progress? Have I been any happier? Has my spouse made any improvement? Have they done anything to change? And have things gotten better? If the answer is no, the answer will be no tomorrow. The answer will stay no in a month. The answer will be very clear in 6 months. I mean, as you go forward, it usually reflects what happened in the past. I mean, this isn't in life in general. This is just, I'm talking about relationships. As you go forward, if nothing has changed, nothing will change. This is a scary, hard truth. But is it truth? What if, there's the big what if he changes tomorrow? What if 3 months from now, he has an enlightening moment and suddenly things are better? My philosophy behind that is that nothing will ever get better if nothing has gotten better. And nothing will ever change as long as you stay together. I didn't mean for that to rhyme, but I might have to quote myself in a book somewhere in the future. But it is the hard truth. I know I say that with laughter, and it is a serious subject, and I apologize. But what we need to come to terms with is that what it has been will be. It will continue being this way. Even if I'm wrong about that, even if your husband does change. But the reason I say he won't change as long as you're together, first, because he hasn't up to this point. Even if he says he's working on it, it's not happening. If there are things shifting and changing, then you want to look at a future date and go, okay, if things are better in a month, in 3 months, then I know they're going in a good direction. If things are the same in 3 months, then I know nothing will ever change. These are what you might call acceptance truths. You come to a place of acceptance that it's the truth. I accept that this is going to be truth from this point on. It's not fun. It's painful, maybe, to hear this. Because like you said, you don't want to hurt him. But what you didn't say in your letter was that you love him. Or you didn't say you're in love with him. And when did that stop? In my experience, when the love stops, you know, that being in love feeling, when that stops, it usually doesn't come back while you're still together. It can come back when you're apart, because then both of you have a chance to grow and heal on your own without each other's influence, good or bad, without someone else being there as a component of your thought processes. After my wife wanted a divorce and we were away from each other, the longer that we were apart, the easier it was to heal and grow, because all my decisions involved just me. Now, That's healthy healing and growing. That doesn't mean it wasn't painful, but it did mean that now I am making decisions for me, about me, and no one else but me. When you have kids, it's for you, about you and your kids, and nothing else but you and your kids. And sometimes you have to include your spouse or your ex-spouse in these decisions. But it's so important that you get to a place inside yourself that's really healed so that you can approach all of these decisions that include your spouse, you know, custody and things like that. So there's no tension in your meetings or when you get together or when you talk on the phone. It's hard to get past this tension, especially when somebody still wants the marriage to go on. But you can get to a point where you're healed in yourself, where you know you're doing the right thing for everyone involved. And that's where I want to take you. I want you to be comfortable in yourself and feel like you have the power to make decisions that are right for you. When you get to that place, then all your decisions come from a powerful place and they're not based on fear. Because right now your letter tells me that some of your decisions are maybe based on fear, or I think all of your decisions in this letter, in the context of this letter, it appears that all of your comments are based on fear. Like one thing you said, I don't want to hurt him. That tells me that you're afraid that if you go through with this, it will hurt him. Without really addressing, if I stay, it'll hurt me. You're more fearful of the way he feels. And I understand that. I get it. That is a valid concern. But it's also an invalid concern because you're not responsible for his hurt. It will hurt. It will hurt both of you, whether you stay or go. But the question is, what is best long-term and what is best for everyone? If you stay and you're in pain, you will be hurt. And like you said, he will be fine. That's not right. It's not fair. It's not right. And you should not make that kind of sacrifice. Because what you bring now to the relationship is a hurt spirit, a hurt soul, however you want to say it. Damaged, wounded. You don't want to bring that to a relationship. You can't. That's not a real loving relationship. It's just sacrifice. And not the good kind of sacrifice. This isn't like taking a bullet for someone. This is just suffering. And it's unnecessary. Now, something else you said out of fear is that you're considering everything, like finances, selling your home, telling family. And when you think of those things, you know, they probably make you afraid. Like, oh, how are my finances going to look? What are we going to do? How are we going to sell our home? How are we going to split that down? What about our assets? What am I going to tell family? Everyone who loves him and they love me, what would they think of me? Or whatever's going through your mind. All these decisions are based on fear. So here's how you determine a decision if you're currently basing it on fear. In your mind, you take out all the fear and approach it from the standpoint of there is nothing to fear. I'll explain what I mean in a minute. So here's what you do. If the finances, selling your home, and telling a family weren't in the equation, and if his feelings weren't in the equation, all that's out. Take out everything you fear. Would you then make the decision to stay or go? Take out all the fear. Finances won't be a problem. Let's just pretend all this is true. You'll be fine financially. The home selling doesn't really make a difference because it'll happen on its own. Somebody else will take care of it. This is all in your mind. Telling family, all your family will support your decision either way. Even your husband will support the decision either way, knowing that he won't be hurt. What would your decision be? Would you stay or would you leave? You should have a clear response from that. Because now you're focused on nothing but your own wants and needs. And if you have kids, take those out of the equation too. Let's just say they'll be perfectly fine and happy no matter what decision you make. What is it? What is your decision? It's a great way to look at it. That takes all the cloudiness out. That's the way you want to answer this question. Should I stay? Should I go? Because another fear-based thing you said was, I'm terrified that I'll regret either decision later. Well, let's take that out of the equation. Let's anything that you'd regret, take out of the equation and just pretend it's a question about what you want. And how you answer doesn't affect anything or anyone negatively. So how do you respond? It's like the magic pill analogy. If you had this magic pill and it could do anything you wanted it to do, what would it do? All the negativity is not in the equation. You're just looking at it as if everything would work out no matter what decision you'd make. What is your decision? So if your decision is, I would get a divorce, then that's congruent. That's what you really want for yourself. That's the decision that you won't regret. You won't, because all the fear's out. You can't regret something that you don't have any fear about. So now here you are with a decision that's clear. I'm not saying it won't hurt, and I'm not saying that a feeling of regret might sneak in, because now you see people feeling bad, and now you're questioning the right decision. And you heard me say it right, the right decision. You made the right decision when there's no fear involved, but it becomes, quote, wrong when you start factoring in everyone else's feelings, and then you discount your own. The right decision is always the one where you remove all the fears and then make it as if everything's going to work out perfectly. Do that. That's the right decision. It may not be the easiest decision. In fact, sometimes it's the hardest decision, but it's the right one for you. And yes, there are consequences. Every decision you make has consequences. People will respond and react. And because there's consequences, it's good to be prepared. It's good to talk to an attorney. Call Asha with getoutofthemess.com. It's good to talk to someone, just like you're reaching out to me, so that you can prepare in advance for what might happen if you do get a divorce. Because there's one thing I've learned about divorce and any major event in life is that people who get divorced, and I heard this from a good friend of mine, will act uncharacteristic of their normal behavior. They will be different than they've ever been, because I think what happens is they jump into survival mode and then they start listening to their attorney or their friends saying, take him for everything he's got, or make him sign this while he's still shocked from the news. People start doing things that are very uncharacteristic and they will surprise you and it might hurt. So it's always good to be prepared by talking to people and asking them what to expect. And definitely be prepared legally, because if you have a lot of assets and you have kids, you want to know what your options are if you go this route. So I hope this helps you. Thank you so much for writing. I know this is a hard choice, and send me an update when you can and tell me what's going on. Thank you and everyone else listening to this show. I appreciate you. Thank you for tuning in. We are at the end of another exciting episode of The Overwhelmed Brain, and I appreciate you. We'll talk again soon. Until next time. Thank you for listening to another episode of The Overwhelmed Brain. Let me thank Asha with getoutofthemess.com. She sponsors this show, so if you're looking for peace of mind, knowing that you can just call an attorney to ask almost any question, anytime, adding that supporting her supports us, contact Asha with getoutofthemess.com. She'll connect you with the freedom to be comfortable no matter what life sends your way. If you're in the U.S. or Canada, visit getoutofthemess.com or call 678-355-8777 and talk with Asha today. And I would love to see you in the TOB Patron Program. Private episodes, workbooks and worksheets to help improve your life, group coaching and more, all starting at $3 a month. Are you a TOB patron yet? If not, you're probably missing some of the best stuff. I hope I can connect with you over there. Visit patron.theoverwhelmedbrain.com or click on Become a Patron on theoverwhelmedbrain.com website today. It's only a few dollars a month for the private episodes, but I promise I'll exceed those expectations that you might have. And whether you're a patron or not, I want to thank you if you've purchased one of my books or worksheets or used the Amazon link on the website. The Amazon link is the easiest way to give back, so go to theoverwhelmedbrain.com and click on the Amazon link before you go shopping again. Your shopping habits are making a difference. They really are. So thank you. And finally, a big thanks to Kevin McLeod of Incompetech.com for some of the music transitions in The Overwhelmed Brain. All right, I'm going to close the show with something I've never done before, which is read you another email. And this is from someone. She wants me to call her EJ. And she says, "Hi, Paul. I've just estranged myself from my abusive maternal family, meaning my grandparents who helped raise me my entire life, also my uncle and my mother. I tried cutting my mother off emotionally for years and, in fact, had not felt close to her for over a decade. I refused to acknowledge the dislike I had had for my mom because underneath, I really missed her and I wanted her to be present in my life. My mother dealt with addiction issues but has been clean for years. Although this is true, she's still incredibly irrational and criticizes my body relentlessly. She also never got along with my uncle nor my grandparents. My usual routine was to cut off my mom and give her another chance after a few months, the same way my mother acted with my grandmother. That was until my stepfather and I had a conversation. He said to cut my mom out. I would have to cut the entire family unit. So that's what I did. And since I cut them off, I found out horrible information about my uncle and the abuse of other family members that have been covered up. I'm in shock, but for the first time in my life, I'm free. I just want to know how to begin to relax and enjoy my life after this abuse. I know it will be a long road, but I'm so happy to be free. Any advice or help is amazing." All right, EJ, thanks so much for writing that. And I wanted to close the show with this because I know I can answer this pretty quickly. Let's see. Now, you said you wanted to begin to learn to relax and enjoy your life after this abuse. And I'm assuming after the shock that you found out about the other abuse in your family as well. Well, you said the key words, you're free. So, first off, you're free. I mean, you are free to be you now. You are free of toxic family members. This is something that you know, and this is something that you can embrace and enjoy. Because sometimes you don't have to have family in your life, especially when they're toxic. Sometimes we're brought up by people who don't know how to behave well, and they're very bad for us. So we don't have to keep them in our life, like you did. You didn't have to keep them in your life, and your stepfather said, just cut your mom out, and you did. And like you said, you're free. When I cut my stepfather out, I also felt free to be myself, free to live anywhere I wanted, free to be anyone I wanted, and free of the emotional strain that he used to put on me. But I still had thoughts that my family was still exposed to him in ways that they didn't like. But they're also free to be themselves. They're also free to choose like you have. They're also free to keep your family in their life or not. So I'm not sure what you don't think you're free of, or why you don't think you can relax and enjoy your life. Maybe it's just the residue of the abuse. You didn't really talk about the abuse in your past, and you didn't really talk about exactly what happened to you. So I'm not sure exactly where you are in your mind with this. But if there's any type of wounding that had happened to you because of that abuse, embrace that you are free now to heal. I'm giving you that permission. If you don't think you have permission, you have it. You have permission to take this time to heal. And it's okay that you released these family members that were toxic in your life. And sometimes it takes a while to detoxify or go through withdrawal, because toxicity can be addictive in a bad way. I mean, you keep people in your life that are toxic, and you're like, why do I keep these toxic people in my life? Because it's like an addiction. It can be, at least. And when you have these addictions in your life, you have to wean off of them and get out of them. And you quit cold turkey, which is something I do. And then when you quit, you have to replace what was there with something healthier. Because sometimes we keep people in our life for something called secondary gain, like people we don't like or things that we don't like. There's something else to gain, even though the situation is bad, even though the relationship is bad, there's something else to gain. It's kind of like the person who's in an unhappy marriage. She's depressed, she's unhappy, and she hates her husband. Yet she never leaves the marriage, and her husband is always like, well, what can I do for you? And he feels bad because he can't do anything. But her secondary gain, which is what benefit she's getting from this situation, is that when she's depressed, her husband gives her extra attention. This is a great example of secondary gain. It's when there's something of benefit that's underneath the surface. And sometimes it's the primary reason why somebody stays the way they are. This is why it's so important to cut relationships off when there's no progress. Like I was talking about earlier in that other letter. When there's no progress, or there has been no progress for months, then it's time to cut the cord. Because what you might be doing is fulfilling some sort of secondary gain, some sort of benefit that you don't even realize you're doing. So it sounds like you've done that. It sounds like you've cut the cord, which means whatever was being fulfilled, any type of secondary gain or unknown benefit, has now disappeared. So it's possible, maybe, that you're experiencing some sort of loss other than now you don't have family to relate to. If that's the case, then you need to start fulfilling those losses in yourself by taking care of yourself as if you were your own family, as if you were your own mom, your own dad, your own uncle, whatever those people would normally do for you or be for you, you do for yourself. I know it sounds a little strange, maybe, but you do these things for yourself because other people aren't capable of doing it. And we're used to the family structure of people doing things in our life that help us feel a certain way, help us feel worthy, help us feel loved, help us feel supported. So if that's missing, then some self-fulfillment may be needed. Or you can also turn to the people that are good and are healthy for you in your life and tell them what you think is missing in your life. But if your only worry is having this abuse in your past, I don't know what kind of abuse, if it was physical, emotional, both, or something else, the very first step and the most powerful step you can take for yourself is to honor your boundaries at every turn, at every moment. Whenever something happens, you check in, ask yourself, is this right for me? And you take the step that's right for you. You have to start honoring yourself because you've been through too much of people not honoring you, honoring yourself. I know it's a theme I repeat over and over again, but this is so important, especially if you've been through any type of trauma, because you're not in control when you're in trauma. You're not in control when you're being abused, or at least you don't feel like you have control. So the idea is to regain that control in you. Listen to my last episode on taking your control back. Start regaining that control in you so that when you honor yourself, your mind goes, oh, you want to do that for you? Wow, let's do that. And you start developing a congruence inside of you. What you want for yourself, you do for yourself. When you want to say no, you say no. You move forward with confidence in your decision, knowing you're doing the right things for you. And the more you do that, the more you feel good inside. I mean, that's a great feeling. When you start honoring yourself more and more, you start to feel good inside. Wow, I can do this. I can take this on. And what this does, a lot of the time, is start replacing some of the feelings of insecurity that you might have had from abuse, some of the fear that you might have had from the abuse. And obviously, it makes a huge difference on how much you were abused and how much residue of that is left over. And you might need to see someone and talk to them, see a professional. But overall, no matter what, start honoring yourself where you can, when you can. Take that leap. Do it for you. Is this right for me? Is the question you want to ask yourself. How you answer it determines how you proceed. And how you start is you open your mind and step into your power and be firm in your decisions and actions so that you can create the life you want. Always take steps to grow and evolve. You are powerful beyond measure. And above all, And this is something I absolutely know to be true about you. You are amazing.